Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for the day that you've given us. We thank you for your word and for revelation. Lord, every day we ask you for revelation. Every day we ask you, Lord, for a closer walk. Lord, every time we come together, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, that you would feed us, Lord, of this great body word, Lord, that you've provided for your bride in this last day. Father, we thank you for the songs, Lord, for the worship, and Lord, for the sweetness of your spirit. Lord, may you just speak to each one now. Lead us and guide us. Lord, those that would listen in. We thank you and praise you now as we commit all to you. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Good to see you. And we just we thank the Lord to be together once again. And to worship him and to give praise to his lovely name. And so we want to get right into it tonight. Continue now. This is part 30, but this is a little thought that come to me a couple weeks ago. And we read a quote, one of the quotes that inspired me on it. On Sunday, and so the scripture said there that, and Brother Branham mentioned it in the token and several other places, that they should not be made perfect without us. And so I want to start in Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to read a few verses here, starting at verse 8. I put the whole chapter in there, but I'm not going to read it all because of the sake of time, because it's 40 verses. And but I put it in there so that you could make it convenient for you to read it later, because it's a really good read, and it's really good. And so I'm just going to begin at verse 8 here. And by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Didn't know where he's going, but he went out by faith. And by faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And through faith, and I couldn't pass this up here on Sarah, because this is so good. And you know, so many times it's always mentioned how Sarah laughed, but it's not mentioned how Abraham laughed. And he laughed before she laughed. And so then it comes, you know, we read so much, well, Abraham by faith. Abraham, he's the father of faith. He did this and this and this. But listen to this. This is Sarah. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Praise God. And that's the way God sees it right there. God's always in the positive. His seed is always moving by revelation. That's what she's doing. She's moving by revelation. He just said, Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he was moving by revelation. And brother, the sister, that's exactly where I see free moral agency. That's exactly where I see free moral agency. You are moving by revelation. God is moving you, and because you are a seed of God, that you make the right choices. You are making the choices, and even when you go the wrong way, God still has his hand upon you. And everything we do in this flesh is not perfect. We make mistakes every day, Brother Branham said. But God has his hand upon his seed. And we're being moved by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's the whole Bible. That's the whole Bible all the way through. Therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country.
Right.
Praise God. That this is not their home. This is not where they're looking for. Now, I want you to go to verse 30. And that's where I'm going to pick up there and finish the chapter there. From verse 30 down to chapter 40. There was a couple verses there that they, one was, I just wanted to throw that in there on Sarah because it's so good. And the other is, they did not receive the promise. They did not receive that thing that they were looking for. There was something that was afar off that was waiting that they could not yet possess it. And so it was coming because the promise can't fail. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies in peace. And what shall I say more? And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, and Jephthu, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire and escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. I want you to hold that word resurrection, because he's going to tie that into this perfection. I mean, this what they need, what they were waiting for. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. He says it again. They received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Amen. Now, there was a lot of quotes, and as always, I just wanted to take one service on it, and I thought last week that it would just be, you know, real short, and I would do it on a Wednesday night, and then as I got to looking at it, it just got bigger and bigger, and so I'm still trying to hold it to one service, and we'll get as far as we can, and I quit early on Sunday, which I think maybe the Lord had managed that. It seemed like the people were tired, and so I struggled a little bit, but we thank God, and always, no matter what the situation is, we thank God, because His word is true, and we want to serve Him. So I'm going to go, this is just a little quote, Melchizedek, the great prince and king. And so I think this is the only one I pulled from way back, and then the rest are after the seals are close, maybe not all. When we rally there with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those who were heirs of the promise, is that right? Weren't they constantly, God constantly promising them? That they had a promise and they were looking for that. See, looking forward to us not to fail. Now, they were heirs of the promise and they're looking forward now to us not to fail. There's something there. When I thought of this, I thought, because in him taking the book about John saying that he wept because there was no one worthy. to take the book and to release the seals and to release the names, to reveal the thing that was hidden there. And so now he's saying there's something for us to do. And Brother Branham brings it down and says it has to be the same ministry. It has to be the same ministry again. We know he was the only one worthy, but we know also where he's at and who he's in when he's fulfilling the promise of this day. He's not doing it. He didn't come down and create a body like he did in Abraham's day. No, he had bodies right here that he took over, that he spoke through. He had a prophet. He had the messenger. And then it goes, it's moving now through the body of the bride. And that's what he was building all the time. It was a body. See, and that's why they couldn't be made perfect without us. And how they're depending on us this morning, let's not fail, keep your anchor. See, that's right. Now, in the message, Souls Imprisoned Now, and some of these things, well, we've read a part or around it. We read not too long ago where he said, you know, that it was when the seals was revealed. That was when it finished. That's when the meritorial work was over. That's when redemption was done. That's when all of these things took place. And so he talked about the seals being opened, the trumpet sounding, all of those things. This is a great message. And he was explaining or revealing about the soul. And he talked about hell. He talked about so many things in this great message. The seven is always the mystery. See, watch that seven. That's the finish. See, that was the coming of the Lord. And heaven was quiet, silent. Nobody moved because Jesus said himself, not even an angel of heaven knows when I will return. I don't even know it myself. What time? The Father has put that in his mind, see? God alone knows it, the Spirit. God the Father, he's the one. See, said, I don't know it. Then it wasn't revealed. When the seventh seal was opened, see, there was silence in heaven. See, it wasn't give away what would take place. But under the sixth seal, where these trumpets opened, remember under there, we find out that the Lamb came forth and appeared on the scene. He had left the mercy seat. His work of redemption was finished. He came forth and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And time was no more. And immediately an angel appeared in the 10th chapter and the 7th verse. Immediately this angel appeared right here, identified by the scripture that at this time, when these things were taking place, that's when he shows up. This angel come down and he swore that time was no longer. Now drop down to paragraph 141. The mysteries was in the seven seals. When these seven seals was opened, that opened up the entire Bible. See, the seven seals, it was sealed with seven mysteries. And these seven seals hid the entire mystery of it. It was the book of redemption, New Testament, not the old. It only proclaimed for the Old Testament. See, they cannot be made perfect without us. Hebrews 11. And now, I can remember this quote right here, Brother Goomba, because I read it. I think it was the first time I went to Kenya. We went to Meru. And Brother Boniface, Brother Peter Okeo was interpreting for a while. And Brother Boniface was interpreting. And I was preaching and I was reading this quote. And there was a brother, he was sitting right on the front row. And when I read that, not the old, it only proclaimed for the new, he hollered at Boniface. And he said, that most people didn't have the books or anything, and not many had computers back in those days. That's been a good while. And he hollered at Boniface and he says, "Does it say that?" And Boniface stopped and he walked over to my computer and he looked at it and he read it and he said, "Yes, it says that." And so it's always stuck in my mind. It's always stuck in my mind. And so I think God, that the books are more out there now. I thank God that the computers are out there, and I thank God that more than anything that they have it on their phone, because everybody has a phone, and so the message is available now, and everybody can read it. So we thank God. See, they cannot be made perfect without us. See, now the redemption only come when the Redeemer died. And they were potentially under the blood of lambs, not the Redeemer. See, they hadn't been redeemed yet until the Redeemer came. So that brings it up. And then we know from there, it brings it to this day when he takes the book and he claims. So he paid the price there, see, and they were under the blood of bulls and goats. And actually, at that time, they rejected. They rejected. But it had to come up. In Questions and Answers, paragraph 113. Now, after his death, burial, and ascension, and the coming of the Holy Ghost, Paul, on his road down, which was Saul, to Damascus, he was struck down by a pillar of fire, the Logos. And that Jew would have never called that pillar of fire Lord unless he knew it was the same Logos that his people followed through the wilderness. See? Now, that was not the Son of Man. That was the Logos. Huh? That was not the Son of Man. That was the Logos. That was a different form that he was manifesting himself in. Now, we say this with reverence and love and respect. See? As Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. See? Also, in the last days, the Son of Man reveals himself again. Revealing himself now, in this last days, the Logos that was upon Jesus, which he has become from that back to the pillar of fire again, and has descended down on the earth. That's what he did. He come down on the earth. That's exactly what Revelations 10 and 7 was saying. Another mighty angel, he came down. He came down. And so Brother Branham's identifying that. That he came down, he has descended down to the earth. See, I was going to say something, but I watched the tape. Now he's watching his words here now, but he's still going to let it out. He's still going to let it out. They wouldn't believe me if you told them. See, they wouldn't believe it if you told them. It wouldn't make any difference. See, the people wouldn't believe it. But I'll omit that. But has come down for, like an investigating judgment goes on. It come down for an investigating judgment. Now, that's exactly what he said back there. In telling Abraham, I'm going to go down and check this report of Sodom and Gomorrah. If it's everything that I've been hearing, I'm going to go down and see. I'm going to go investigate this thing. So he sent his angels down there to investigate that thing. And it brought judgment. And that's what it's bringing today. It's bringing judgment. Paragraph 115. Now this great pillar of fire that's absolutely identified, even by the scientific cameras, that's here on the earth today. Then watch the works of it. And this is the thing. Watch the works of it. I had to cut out a lot here, but he talked about how that they tested this thing and how that George J. Lacey, the head of the fingerprint division of the FBI, how he said, Brother Branham, I said it was psychology. I said it was this and that, that it wasn't real, that it was all a makeup something. He said, but we put that, I forgot how many days he said that they studied that picture of the pillar of fire. And he said, we put it under everything that we had. And he said, the light struck the lens.
That's right.
He said, that's not psychology. He said, that was there.
Yes.
He said, that light struck the lens. And so he was identifying, he was testifying that this was a supernatural thing that was taking place. So then he says, and this is through the fire. This is through the Bible all the way. Watch the works. That's what we read the other day when he was talking about them putting the covering Jesus' eyes, his head, putting the rag over him, and hitting them and saying, who hit you? Tell us. We'll believe you. If you're a prophet, tell us who hit you. He said, not like that. This is an unveiling of God. He said, not like that. He said, but what does the word say is going to take place at this time? He said, that's it. That's it right there. What does the word say? How does the word say that it's going to happen? Not how is man trying to make it happen or trying to prove it or if you do this, I'll believe you. No, that's he never does that. He don't play. He don't play for people. No, then watch the works of it among us. It's going to be the same spirit. It's going to be the same attitude. It's going to be the same motive and objective. It's the same. It has to be and it will be. And through the bride, it's going to be exactly the same thing that it's been all the way through the Bible. And everything else has got to go. Everything else has got to go. What we see out here in the world and what we see so many of these big preachers and stuff, and nothing against no none of that, but all of man's ego has got to go. Yes, Brother Brandon said there's three things that get the preachers. He said money, women, and fame. And that fame, all right in the midst of those three things is that ego and is jealousy and is everything else that Satan will raise up in a man if he's not surrendered to God. And that's the only way. And every one of us is right there depending on God every day to kill that thing and don't let it creep in and don't let it mess with us at all. I'm watching... they had the ones that come in the other day, the investment group that came in. And so I just wanted to watch it a little bit. So I took the link and I joined it and I, just watching and the whole thing is just a scam. It's just a scam. And so you can be sure if they could take $100 today and in 24 hours give me $200, or if they could take $10,000 today and in 24 hours give me $20,000, you could be sure they wouldn't be having to recruit people. The people would be bringing the people. That would, if that was real, it would sell itself. They wouldn't have to keep repeating this is not a scam. They wouldn't have to keep telling you this is real. And they have all of these different, sure, they have a bunch of people in there, and they have a bunch of numbers, and they have a bunch of testimonies. And it could all be the same person as far as that goes. So I don't know. But finally, today, it was so many notifications, I finally just dropped out and got out of it. And so the guy come to me privately and wanted to talk, and I didn't even reply. It's everywhere. Scam is everywhere. It's not just denominations. It's even around the message. It's even right there. Satan is right there. Everywhere. That's just like you when you talk about Israel. And people think that everything of Israel is of God. It's not. It's not. God has an elected seed. And that's how it's always been. That's how it'll always be. And Brother Branham said that Wall Street Jew said he's a crook and said he'll take you. He said, but God has an elected seed. And theirs is not for this world. Theirs is for the word of God. They got the same thing, the same desire that Abraham had. They got the same desire that Paul had. They got the same desire that the bride has. Because it's the same spirit. And it don't matter if it's in a Jew or a Gentile or whatever it's in, it's going to manifest the same thing. That's right. Because that's what it is, because it's him. Then watch the works of it among us. See, proves the same Jesus that once lived in Palestine, the same spirit was on him, has come up through the body until it's come back to the headship again, which is coming to claim the body. Right. Think about what he's saying. That's where it's come to. That's what it's for. And that's why they couldn't be made perfect. Because this is the head to the body. And if you got a body that don't have a head on it, you're not perfect yet. It was waiting for that perfection. It was waiting for this part of the body. It was waiting for this part of the ministry to manifest itself. And all of those ministries that come down through there, they were bringing up that part of the body. And that's why that quote where Brother Branham talked about, and I think it's in Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, he said, talking about the rapture, and he said Luther was a part, Wesley was a part. Those prophets, in that they were making up that part of the body. They were bringing it up. It was the foundation, and it was coming up, coming up. And in Luther and Wesley, he talked about it was up here in the body till it come to the tongues, till it come to the eyes, till it come to the intelligence. It was building the body all the time, the body of Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. Just watch the works, and you'll know what body it is. You'll know what body it is then. See? He's coming to claim the body. Amen. The head's coming to the body. You get it? That will be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David, the I Am, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Morning Star. That's right. See, I am not he, I'm his servant. And the pillar of fire is not he, it's the spirit form. It's in spirit form, see, which was upon the Son of Man. And has come now to anoint the sons of men, to bring back a ministry just exactly like it said it would be. What said? The word said. The promise said. Not the denomination said. Not the nominal idea said. In order for the head and the rest of the body to connect together. Praise be to God. There's your perfection right there. And brother, that's what Brother Branham was talking about it after the seals. And like I said, you could spend a lot of time on this because when he was talking about, he said the ministry came to perfection when it reproduced Jesus Christ again in flesh amongst the people. Praise be to God. And now he's identifying, it has been identifying, and when we get toward in the end of this, talking about these covenants, it all ends in one place. And that's the manifested sons of God. That's where it comes to. It came from all of that back there, and it comes all the way down. It came through Christ, and it comes down now to that manifestation of Christ in his bride. Praise be to his name. See, in order for the head and the rest of the body to connect together. That's right. Skipping down, I'm moving into that. Next, from 219, drop down, a couple of paragraphs in there. And Jesus cannot come until a church, a body of believers, and the ministry that he wants will have to be the same as it was then. See, and then that brings them with us is not made perfect. See, Paul said in Hebrews 11, without us, they cannot be perfected. See, they must have this ministry to raise up the Lutheran, the Wesleyan, and all of them down through their ages. They must have this ministry to raise them up. What is that? That's a resurrection. That's a resurrection. That's a quickening power. That's a making alive. That's a bringing forth all that word down through the ages. See, they must have this ministry to raise up the Lutheran and the Wesleys and all them down through their ages. When that come, when that part of where the eagles gathered, see, just as the carcass is the eagles will be gathered. See, the question was, he stopped. So he said, oh, it's just perfect. He's just getting excited there. I hope that answered the question. See, where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Where the killing is, where the killing of the meat is, where the killing, the body word is, that's where the eagles gather together. Praise be to God. In the token message, skipping down, paragraph 88. Now, as Hebrew 11 says, all these who wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins and was destitute, and all these things that they done, yet was not made perfect without us. See? And the church in this day that's received the token of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's read it again. And the church in this day that's received the token of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that the blood has been shed, and that the Holy Ghost is upon the church. Without us, then, they cannot rise. They can't what? They can't rise. He's tying it together. They cannot rise. But they're depending on us. For God promised he would have it. And somebody's going to be there. See, I don't know who it's going to be. But somebody is going to receive it. The only thing I'm responsible for is to preach it. It's God's business to look out for that predestinated seed. We read this on Sunday. And this is, when I read this, this is what caught my attention. Because, and if you go back and pull those quotes, there's so many, he identifies the different things, but he brings it down to the life. He brings it down to the token today. And that token is the quickening power. And it's the thing that raises her up. It raises up the body. It raises up the body, and it brings perfection to the body. Praise God. See, there is going to be there though, because they're going to be there, each one of them, one with the other, the water age and the blood age, and now the token age of the Holy Ghost. And remember, Israel came through many things, but it was in the evening time when the token was required. See, not in the morning, not in the preparation, the 14 days of the keeping up of the Lamb. Israel knowed something was coming. We talked about that. So did Luther know it. So did Wesley know it. So did Finley know it. So did Knox know it, and Calvin know it. This is it. Amen. This is it. This is what they were waiting for. And even the unbelievers, they know something's up. They know something's happening. And then my wife was telling me this morning, We went over and picked up our grandson, and she was watching him today. And so there was a lady that worked there, and I don't know what group she's with, but they bought mountain property, and they are preparing for the money to go away or be worthless, which is getting there quick. Anybody knows it can't continue. You can't continue to make money with nothing to back it. It's just printed paper. It's simply printed paper. And we're giving away trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. I mean, these days, I remember when I was a kid, $1 million was just like you were set for life. If you had $1 million, you were set for life. Now you can buy a car for $1 million. Now you can buy a house for, that might make the down payment on the house. I mean, surely you can do less, but what I'm saying is it doesn't mean anything anymore. People can win $20 million and be broke in a couple years. Right. We think sometimes, Lord, just give me a chance. Let me try. But every time I have that thought, I think, Lord, if it's going to mess me up, I don't want it. If it's going to mess me up, I don't want it. It's proven over and over and over, struggle is the best thing that you can ever happen to you. Struggle is the best thing. And when we struggle through things, when we have challenges, when we have battles, it builds character. And that's what's wrong with the young people today. They're used to everything like this. Everything is like this. Have you ever started using your computer and you're trying to Google something or do something, or you're waiting for it to open it up, and it's like where it usually takes a couple of seconds, it's taking a half a minute or a minute, and you're like, this is ridiculous. And you're thinking now, wait a minute, think about it. Going down the road, how fast you're traveling. Flying somewhere, how fast you're traveling. You know, be on an 8-hour, 10-hour flight, and think, this is horrible. Stop and think about it. You're going to go to the other side of the world in 8 hours or 10 hours. This is still pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing what's happening. But it gets, I can remember probably the first 20 years going to India before I ever went to Kenya or Africa, going to India. Every time I came home, I said, Lord, I'll never complain again. I'll never complain again. Those people were so poor. They were so poor, and they just, and you watch the children out there playing, and this is the beauty of it. And it's the same thing in Africa. The beauty of it is those children are out playing, happy. They don't know the difference. They never knew that. They never knew wealth. They never knew anything different than what they had. And they are naturally happy just as they are. And it's only when this other stuff's introduced is when it becomes a problem.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And nothing, I'm not preaching against prosperity, because that's all fine. I'm not preaching against anyone wanting to better themselves. Everybody wants to better themselves. And the scripture says, I would that you prosper, even as your soul prospers. The thing is just keeping God first. Just keeping God first, and then he can pour out the blessings. But I just don't believe there's ever going to be a day when everybody's going to drive a Cadillac. I'm not believing that one. I don't believe that message. You know, Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always. Always. See, but it was the evening time when the token was required. Not in the morning. Not in the preparation. They couldn't get it in Paul's day. That wasn't it. That was a preparation. There was a preparation going on. The price was being paid. All of that was coming together. The Spirit was being poured out. But that wasn't the completeness of it. That wasn't the fullness of it. It wasn't until the evening time when the token was required. That's why Brother Branham said in the token message, it never came into existence until the evening time. It didn't become available. He didn't come. He didn't come until now.
Amen.
See, they knew something was coming, and this is it. This is it. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I want to read another scripture here in John chapter 11. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. See? And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Praise be to God. Can you imagine what she was thinking? In that day, the Spirit hadn't been poured out. They were a very naturally minded people. And he's saying, I am the resurrection.
Amen.
That had to be quite a statement, an overwhelming statement to take in that day, in that hour. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, whosoever liveth in me and believeth in me shall never die. Believest, now he's putting her on the spot now. Believest thou this? Wow, that was a lot. She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world.
Amen.
Amen. But then when they got, that flesh was still in the way, because when they got to the tomb and he said, roll the stone back. She said, Lord, now, it's been 4 days. It's going to stink. You want to do this? He said, I told you. I told you. Thank God that he's patient with us and reminds us. And, it's like sometimes with our children. Sometimes you have to tell them more than once, don't you? Sometimes it takes a few times. But that love is patience. That love is patient. And we thank God that He's so patient with us. Amen. My, Abraham laughed, Sarah laughed, and then God puts it in the record. Abraham's the father of faith. Sarah, she moved by faith. Amen. Praise be to God. Yes. Ah, it's so good. It's so good. See, this is why I'm against organized religion. Now, this is before the seals, okay? But this same revelation, this continued right after the seals. Well, let me just say, half of it did. Half of it did. And so I was going to take it out, and I thought, no, I'm going to leave it there. Just maybe it'll help somebody out that hasn't read it. Anyways, 129. Remember, I believe that Martin Luther had the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. But maybe not in the portion it is today. Because it wasn't give out. Huh? If they didn't have it, if it wasn't give out, then when people are arguing about the difference of this day and the day of Pentecost, he's saying it wasn't give out. So, but they had, the Spirit was poured out. But they didn't have it in the portion that we got it today. See, not in the portion it is today because it wasn't give out. We've been through this, you people of the tabernacle, here on the blackboard. Now he's reminded them, I've taught all of this to you. You all know this. You all know that it was building all the time, building and building. That there from Pentecost, it had to die and go into the ground. And then it began to come up. There began to be a resurrection. So now he's telling you, I've taught you this, see? But he did believe to God. And he that believeth has everlasting life. That's right. Now, here's the other part. And this was corrected. I never thought there was a person that believed like me till this morning. I heard Charles Fuller, as it was going down, he believes too that the new birth is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The new birth is being born, and the Holy Ghost is the baptism. See? All right. And so he said some comments like this two or three times. I'm pretty profound because he said exactly the scripture. He said right with the scripture. But after the seals opened up, he come right back and he said, the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost is one and the same thing. Amen. Not two different things. It's one and the same thing. So God brought it up. But this part up here, he continued this thought straight out. After the seals, it became more real. Became more real. The true Easter seal, watch the tree, guarded. See, it could not get back because there was no offering appropriated to take sin away. See, therefore, when they came to worship, the Shekinah glory was behind the veil, sealed off from them. See, it was sealed off from them from the Garden of Eden. But when the day of Pentecost came, brother, when Jesus died there at Calvary and finished the work, he didn't seal man out. He sealed man inside with himself. And now we're sealed up and shut up in the presence of the Shekinah glory. Not only are we sealed in, but we're sealed in eternally. Praise be to God. There's your eternal covenant right there. You're sealed in. You had eternal life. You were part of him before the foundation of the world. You always was a part of him. You always will be a part of him. It don't have a starting place and it don't have a stopping place. He just paid the price to get you back there because it was guarded for a little while. See, for by one spirit, we're all sealed into one body. You say, is the Holy Ghost a seal? Ephesians 4:30 said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of your redemption. That's the genuine, true Easter seal. Shows that sin has been paid for you. And God has accepted you and you're sealed into Christ by the Holy Ghost. Sin's finished. The eternal seal has been finished. Now, you know, Brother Branham preached again the Easter seal. And I think you look how many times messages, at least maybe a dozen or more, take messages like God's chosen place of worship, Melchizedek, many of those messages, he preached them back there almost the same title, or he just changed the title a little bit, and it was the same thing, and he'd bring the same scripture, and he'd bring the same thought. He brought it was based on the same idea, and it come right through. But there was a difference. There was a difference. Because afterwards, you remember the dream where they said, Brother Branham said, we were all sitting at the Lord's table. Not any table, the Lord's table. And said, the Spirit came in and took you away. And then after a while, and said, we were looking for you and we were lost without you and we didn't know what to do and we were crying for you. Said, after a while, said, you were brought back and you were set at the head of the table. And said, you had been changed. And said, now you spoke with authority. Said, before you were speaking like you weren't 100%. You were speaking good. You were doing good. You were bringing a good message. But afterwards, there was absolute authority to it. It was absolutely, this is it.
Right.
Not could be wrong. Now, this is it now. And said, you have been changed and now you spoke with authority. And that's exactly, you could take the same title, preach the same message, use the same scripture, but now it was placed perfectly 100%. 100%.
Yes.
It was God taking over. Now, and filling in the details, filling in the details now, and just making the whole thing more real. And that's the beauty of this great message. And that's why it's so hard to understand how people can walk away now, when so much has been revealed, when so much has been opened up, so it's just, this thing has become so great and so wonderful and so powerful. It's hard to conceive. How now, in this late hour, that people can walk away from it.
Right.
I'm telling people raised in it. Raised in it. But we know, it has to be in here.
Right.
It has to be in here. And so, whatever, until that happens, then it's just not real yet. It's just, you're blind until it's real. No matter how close you come to it, God's got to do it. So paragraph 126. Now we are resurrected. This is the 1961. This is the same thing he said in, it was 1965 he preached it, 64, 65? 65, I think. Yeah. So 1965, he preached Easter Seal, and he preached It's the Rising of the Sun. And this is what he was preaching. You are resurrected today. See, now we can have such a time. Why can we have such a time over the things of God? Because we're resurrected. See, those he foreknew, he called, and those who he called, he justified, and those who he justified, he's glorified. Then we are now resurrected. We are resurrected from the inside out, not from the outside in. No, do you notice? Not sealed out this way, but sealed in. See? Oh, if the church could just see it, see, we're not sealed out, we're sealed in. Them days when sin was an abomination before God, there was no appropriation to take it away. We were sealed away from it. Now, when that ripped in two, see, and that seal was broke by a sin offering being made from us, now we're baptized inside and sealed inside. We are resurrected. We are now resurrected, already resurrected. And how do you know? The Bible said so. We are now resurrected. We are now raised with Him in spiritual resurrection.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Yes.
Amen. And so they couldn't be made perfect without us.
That's right.
Without, they couldn't rise without us. This, the voice of the resurrection, He had to call it. He was the one. He was the only one that could take the book. He was the one that had to call and call for them to come forth.
Amen.
Call for that word. Call for that bride. Call for all four. Brother Branham said when he took the book, said the first thing that he did was call for his bride to come and stand by his side.
Amen.
The first thing that he did.
Yes.
See? Raised with him in spiritual resurrection. See? What does that word quicken mean? The first thing, as soon as I read that, I thought, Brother Branham said many times, it quicken means made alive. Made alive. But that ain't what he said here. But it means the same thing. It just expanded the meaning of the word for us. That's right. Quickened means to be made alive. See? Quickened means resurrection. See? That's right. We're already resurrected right now. Why? Because you've been quickened. When you're quickened, that's resurrection. That word is resurrected in you. That life is resurrected in you. That seed of God is resurrected in you. See? That's right. We're already resurrected right now, sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, enjoying the Easter seal. Amen. That's God's true Easter seal. How are we? By one Spirit baptized into the body, see, and sealed eternally. Praise be to God. I love that word. I love that word eternal. And it only has one meaning. And that is no beginning and no ending. And it only applies to one person. And that is the Father. That's God. And so if you are a part of Him, that word applies to you. See? We're now raised spiritually. What did we raise from? A life of sin. We were once sinners and loved the things of the world. And when you go to the message, it's the rising of the sun. He takes this same thing and expands upon it. And he said, what is? See, what did you raise from? A life of sin. He says, what is this great transformation? Huh? What is this great transformation? You remember it. You remember that message. How he brings it out and explains. You that were once in dead in sin and trespass, you were in that cage. You were in that prison.
That's right.
God hath delivered you, quickened you, resurrected you. Praise God. Now, jumping to 1965, it's the rising of the sun. And now, see, now you are already resurrected. When God raised him up, he raised you. See, the sun is just now on you. And now you're growing. Huh? The body has been growing. It's been growing. When that seed is planted in a woman, it's growing. That life is growing. That body is growing. It's building and building and building. And that's what it was doing back there under those prophets, that foundation. It was building and building. They were manifesting God. They were manifesting Him. They didn't start manifesting God in the New Testament. That was God back there. That was God in Adam.
Amen.
That saved his wife.
Yes.
That was God.
Amen.
Brother Branham said a perfect type of Christ.
Amen.
Because Christ had no sin. And Adam had no sin.
Right.
He did not disbelieve.
Amen.
He did not disbelieve. But he purposely went and got her. Christ purposely walked out there and took his wife to save her, and Adam purposely walked out there to take his wife and save her. That's what he did. You can make it sound like a bad thing. You can make it sound like a failure. You can make it sound like anything. But it was the greatest thing that ever happened. It was a type of the greatest thing that ever happened. Praise be to God. See, the sun is just now on you. See, you're growing into a blossom of life like he was, to be resurrected completely in the last days. Your potentials you have now, why do you know? Why do you know? Your soul changed, didn't it? Ha-ha, it's beautiful. Your body come in obedience to it, see, didn't it? In obedience to what? A church? The Word, which is the life. Then you are now resurrected from the dead. It is Easter with Jesus and I. It's Easter with you and Jesus. It's Easter with you and I and Jesus. Amen. We are all, see, Jesus, you and I, we're all resurrected together. Praise be to God. That's right. Now, this is in the Uniting Time Sign. Now, I just got a couple more here, and we got time. So, look at this, 122. Looking at the uniting, God uniting the church with his word. See, the word with the church. That they both become the same. See, say this and it'll happen. See, do this, it'll happen. This is it. See, this is me before you. This is me proving it. This is me with you. Huh?
Amen.
It's Him. Yes. It's Him in you. It's Him manifesting through you. It's Him saying, do this, I'll do this. Do this, say this, I'll make it happen. I'll make it happen. Just do it. Just do it. Testify to this word, and He'll prove it to the people. He'll prove it. 123. We find that now the time comes when the trumpet sounds. And those sleeping saints back there that could not be made perfect without us. He's talking about a resurrection again, isn't he? Huh? They couldn't rise without us.
Amen.
See? Because the life had to come. And the life is the resurrection. That's why Jesus told her, He said, I am the resurrection. You're looking at it. I'm it. See? And those sleeping saints back there, see, and that trumpet that sounds, Brother Branham made it clear that that trumpet of Thessalonians was the seventh trumpet. It was the last trumpet. And so that is the voice. That's the voice of the resurrection. That's the calling forth to bring forth the word, to bring forth the promise. See? The trumpet sounds, and those sleeping saints back there that could not be made perfect without us, they're depending on us. See? They're depending on us. Just like John was depending on somebody to take that book. Now they're depending on somebody to come forth in this ministry, in this manifestation, to prove this part of the word. Had to be, as it was in every day, every time, every age, so is it again. God in flesh. See, they're depending on us, Hebrews 11. And when they come together, they'll unite with the living ones. The church uniting with the word. Then the church and the word uniting together, becoming one. See, the dead saints and the living saints uniting together to be one. And all going together to unite with Christ yonder for the wedding supper of the Lamb.
Amen.
Amen. And so I took so much out of there, but it's so good. It's so good. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. I throw this in at the last minute. And I told Brother Michael I was sending him the quotes early today, and then I found this. Now, I didn't find it. I just had left it out and just decided to put it in. I'd been reading it. It's a revelation. It's as eternal as God's word is eternal. Look, but the threefold purpose of God's great mystery is revealed. God manifested in Christ. God manifested in the church. See, in order to redeem the lost Eve. Now, God manifested in Christ, and Christ manifested in the church. As He's tying them together. He's tying them together. And He comes in order to redeem the lost Eve back to the original condition. That ministry back there and this ministry has to be the same thing. It has to be the same living God manifesting Himself, manifesting the word of the age, the promise of the age. Has to be the same thing again, taking place once in a single member, now in a many-membered body. Praise be to God. In order to redeem the lost Eve back to the original condition in the Garden of Eden. Oh, my. Oh, there's going to be some big times on that day. Yeah, that's right. We believe it. Don't you believe it? That's right. I just think of that song every time. And I took the song out. He vindicated Himself in Daniel. He vindicated Himself in Moses. He vindicated Himself in Jeremiah. What were they? The prophets which the word came to. See? Them great men, see? You've heard the story told of dreaming Joseph, you see? Daniel in the lion's den. All these other ones, you know them. See what they were. Prophet, see? But the main one, God was just temporarily typing in them. He typed Himself in Adam, knowing what was right, but walked out to redeem his wife. Huh? He knew what was right, but he walked out there to get his wife. What kind of man would not step out to save his wife at any cost? At any cost. God knew what it'd take to make him walk out there. He had to make a man that would need salvation. But there was no way that this man could doubt the word of God. There was no way that this man could disbelieve. There was no way. So there was only one way to get him. And that was take something that was a part of him. Something that he loved more than life itself. Praise be to God. He typed himself in Adam knowing what was right. But walked out to redeem his wife because she was wrong. Christ didn't have to be sin. But he walked out and took sin. Adam didn't have to. He did it. There's that free moral agency. There was that seed of God in there working. Knowing. Why? Well, just watch the works. Exactly the same works. Adam was exactly the same works. See, Christ didn't have to be sin, but he walked out and took sin to redeem his lost child. See, he typed himself. That's right. See, they are the Bible. See, they was all manifested in him, though. See, without him, they're all gone. See, and I have to become part of that, to be him. We have to become part of that to be him. That's right. Amen. See? Oh my. 6:26. Hebrews 11 said, they could not be perfect without us. Hands and feet cannot be perfect without the brains. Huh? Who's the brains? Not us. That's when man gets in the way. When man thinks he's the brains, he's not the brains. God is the brains. It's him. That's the same ministry of him. The fullness of the word 2,000 years ago is the fullness in this day. They got confused. They thought the fullness was on the day of Pentecost. No, the fullness was hanging on Calvary. That was the fullness right there. And then the seed went into the ground and there began to be a falling away. It just all makes sense. Paul told them, this is in part. We see in part.
Right.
We know this is not the fullness.
Yes.
But the fullness had come in that day. It had been there. It had manifested. It had made all of that possible. And then it began to move. They could not be made perfect without us. Hands and feet cannot be perfect without the brains, the knowledge, the head, so forth. See? And we're all perfected in him. So by one spirit, we're all baptized into one body, free from judgment, passed from sin unto death. Amen. God's own son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Do you love him? Just think, Christ revealed right now, right in us now. See? Right now in us, how was he revealed? Praise God, because he first loved me. Oh my, it's so good. So good. Praise be to his lovely name. We love him and we thank him that perfection has come in this day. And he is that perfection. And it ties with the whole message. The whole message, the life. The life has come to bring forth that resurrection, to bring forth that life, to bring forth that manifestation of all that he wanted to be in this day, in a many-member body. And that Paul, he identified all of it. Maybe not all of it, but he identified what we needed to go to know to tie it together. And sometimes just little things that he said. In Christ, there's neither male nor female. Huh? Why did he say that? Because it was going to be Christ in both male and female.
Amen. That's right.
Whereas a woman couldn't be heard, couldn't be nothing. Now, she's getting the same thing. She's getting the same thing. And she might be able to receive it, and this one can't. It's all in Him. It's the predestinated seed is up to Him who is the real, true believer. Neither male nor female, neither Jew nor Greek. No matter what color you are, don't matter where you're from, don't matter what your name is, none of that matters. No, it's that seed in there. Is that seed in there? Manifesting, breaking forth, being quickened, being resurrected to life. To manifest that perfection. No sin whatsoever. Praise be to our God. Amen. We love Him. And can we just sing a song? I don't want to leave it, but I'd like to sing a song. So we could just get a volunteer. Praise the Lord. Amen. We love Him so much.
Amen. Don't you love him? I enjoyed that. I know Sunday I had to step out of service and do some work. And I hadn't had a chance to quite catch up on that one yet, but I sure enjoyed tonight. It's good. I wanted to sing that song that Brother Brandon was mentioning in his service there, a meeting in the air, but I'm not sure if we have it in the... it's in the only believe it. Do you know the title of it, Meeting in the Air? So that's what I've got. Page 94. I was thinking about how the brother was testifying how the light hit the lens and it was real and it was captured. The thing about how it hit the lens of a natural camera. But in this day, that light hit the spiritual lens of the bride and she could see.
Amen.
And so it was really good. And he's talking about the body not being complete without us, without the head, you know. And I think about when it's begin to grow, what a dedication they had and what a willingness to... They wasn't so focused on the natural life and they was willing to sacrifice their lives and everything and because they was not looking. And a lot of people today, they wanted something physical. They want to take care of everybody. They talk about the rapture and you talk about someone in rapture and they think this body's going in a rapture somewhere. They're going to take this. I don't want to take this. This is filthy. This is not even complete. I'm not a complete body. I'm missing a body member. I don't want to take this there. But people today think they're going to take that somewhere. But true revelation shows you it's not this natural flesh.
Amen.
And that it's that spiritual body. And such a great quote there, knowing that your feet and your arms can't be anything without the head, you know. So we appreciate the headship today. We're going to sing the song that they were, Brother Branham was mentioning. So.
Many others in the Bible. I Son will be the leading one at the meeting in the air. Many things are really missing in that meeting, for the mourner's bench will have no place at all. There will never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinners have refused and eager call. There will be no mourning over wayward loved ones. There will be no lonely nights of pleading prayer. All our burdens and our anguish will be lifted at that meeting in the air. There is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. Truly glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. And the doubters will be missing altogether. All the skeptics will be absent on that.
This natural life, and it'll all be perfect over there. Brother Newman, if you'll come around, dismiss us in a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Put you on the spot there.
That's right. Well, when you talked about but it was a type of a great, you said it was a great thing for Adam to save Eve. And then he said it was a great type. It was a great type, but brother, let me tell you, in the Garden of Eden, there was nothing else to save. That's right. That was the only thing to save, and he saved everything that was to be saved. That was Adam. In this age, he saved everything that was to be saved.
Yeah.
In the same, you can say that was the one, yeah. But that was all that was to be saved in that age.
Yeah, that's right.
In this age, he saved everything that was to be saved.
Amen.
So whether it's a type of what, he was a savior there, he was a savior here. That's why they are typed.
Yeah.
That is Adam, and that is the second Adam. There's a purpose, there's a reason as to why
right. He
calls him the second Adam.
That's
Jesus
right.
Christ is the second Adam. That was the first savior who saved the first there. This is the second savior who saved everything here.
Amen.
I'm not, we have a problem in quitting. We are not quitting anything. We are just saying what he says right
what
there. And if we just leave it like that, it's just good, brother. It's just so sweet. And brother, praise with God.
Amen.
And brother, nothing. I love the way the anointing today was. I mean, Romego came here and it was marvelous. And then it was like kind of just a smooth pass over to Brother Don. And then Brother Don came here, brother. And you can see God. You can see God in the whole thing. And, brother, I really enjoy it. And we are very thankful for the Lord. Let's pray. Yeah. We are thankful, Father. When we see you, sometimes we want to see miracles and great things, Lord. But when we see you and feel you, Lord, like when you're walking to Emmaus with those people, and Lord, they didn't know that you're around. They didn't know. But when it came to a place, Father, you opened the things that you opened to them, they recognized, they realized that was you. That was you. And Lord, you'd say, Father, that you are with us tonight, Lord. And we feel it. We know it, Lord. We know that you've spoken. Lord, you are with us in singing and everything, Lord. Father, we are so thankful for that. We enjoyed it when you talked to us, Lord. When you revealed those things. When you talked to those deep things. Those nuggets there and here, connecting them together, Lord God. It's so great, so nice, Lord. And we love you for that. When you feed us like that, Lord God, showing your love to us, Father, we are so happy, Lord. Thank you for everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen. 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 Praise be.